It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It was 260 years ago this month that a 21-year-old major in the Virginia militia named George Washington had two brushes with death that could have dramatically altered the course of American history. Decades before he became the father of our country, Washington, a loyal British subject at the time, was on a dangerous diplomatic mission in the western Pennsylvania wilderness. We explored this little-known chapter of Washington's life with Martin J. O'Brien, a retired Common Pleas Court judge and a self-proclaimed history buff. He sat down with us at the Harmony Museum in Harmony, Pennsylvania, not far from where Washington was on December 27, 1753, at the boundary of French and English territory. Judge O'Brien started by explaining why Washington was there.
Governor Dinwiddie, along with Washington's half-brother, belonged to the Ohio Company, and they had a grant from the King of England for this territory, they thought, and they were interested in preserving it as English territory. So the governor wanted to send somebody out here to determine just what the French were doing. In the meantime, the French had developed trade with the local Indians, and some of the British had, but not much. So they commissioned George Washington as a major in the Virginia militia and immediately sent him from Williamsburg, Virginia, to Winchester, and finally to Cumberland, Maryland, which was then called Wills Creek. There he employed Christopher Gist as a guide, and Gist, along with an Indian named Nemacolin, had laid out a trail from Cumberland, Maryland, to Bryansville, Pennsylvania. And they essentially followed that Nemacolin path along the route and then ended up at the Point in Pittsburgh. This all occurred in the fall of 1753. From there, they traveled on up to Fort LaBeouf.
And so Washington is assigned by the governor, Governor Dinwiddie of Virginia, to deliver this letter to the French, who are encroaching on what the British see as their land. And why are the French here?
Well, the French came down from Canada along the Great Lakes and set up outposts at Erie and Waterford, Pennsylvania, Fort LaBeouf, and were working their way down to Venango along the Allegheny River. And there they intended to proceed down the Allegheny to the Point at Pittsburgh and establish a fort there. It was ultimately their intention to go down the Ohio and the Mississippi River and meet up with the French in Louisiana. At that point, they would then have the entire eastern part of the United States under French control or authority.
So this would presumably be New France and maybe not even the United States of America as we know it today.
I think we would all be speaking French at this point rather than English.
So Washington delivers the letter, the French receive it, and the letter essentially says what?
The letter said politely, you know this is English territory, you must vacate the territory. The French very politely said, thank you very much, but this is French territory and we don't have any intention of leaving. At that point, Washington turned around and was anxious to get back to Virginia. He and Gist, along with their Indian escorts, came down the French Creek to Fort Venango, and throughout this whole trip, Washington complained in his journal bitterly about the snow and the ice and the rain and the cold in western Pennsylvania. And it would be similar somewhat like it is today, I believe, where the temperature is 10 degrees. When they got to Venango, the horses were exhausted. So Washington left the horse and the baggage and everything there, and he and Gist took out on foot and walked from Venango, Pennsylvania, Franklin, down through Butler County, and were at a village called Murdering Town. And no one has really specifically located it. It was apparently an Indian village somewhere near Harmony and Evans City.
About a mile away from the Harmony Museum, it's possible to retrace Washington's path through the area near the Conequenessing Creek, where the most dangerous parts of the excursion occurred. We pick up the story with a local reenactor reading from a copy of Washington's journal.
My name is Daniel Nair. I do living history, historical reenacting. I'm captain of the Campbell's Light Infantry Company, part of the 42nd Regiment of Foot, also known as the Black Watch. And this is George Washington. I took my necessary papers, pulled off my clothes, and tied myself up in a watch coat. Then, with gun in hand and pack on my back, in which were my papers and provisions, I set out with Mr. Gist, fitted in the same manner, on Wednesday the 26th. The day following, just after we had passed a place called Murdering Town, where we intended to quit the path and steer across the country for Shanapan's Town, we fell in with a party of French Indians who had laid in wait for us. One of them fired at Mr. Gist, or me, not 15 steps off, but fortunately missed. We took this fellow into custody and kept him until about 9 o'clock at night, then let him go and walked all the remaining part of night without making any stop, since we were all assured they would follow our track as soon as it was light. The next day we continued traveling until quite dark and got to the river about 2 miles above Shanapan's. We expected to have found the river frozen, but it was not. Only about 50 yards from each shore, the ice, I suppose, had broken up above, for it was driving in vast quantities. There was no way for getting over but on a raft, which we set about, with but one poor hatchet, and finished just after sunsetting. This was a whole day's work. We next got it launched, then went on board of it, and set off. But before we were halfway over, we were jammed in ice in such a manner that we expected every moment our raft to sink, and ourselves to perish.
They tried to take this raft across the Allegheny River, and Washington was controlling it with a pole, and didn't do a very good job because he ended up being thrown into the river. And with all the old wet wool clothes that they used to wear, he was very fortunate that he was able to be saved by Gist.
He could have just as easily died in that little mishap as he could have being shot by the Indian who betrayed them on the trail.
He certainly could have. He had two life-threatening experiences within 2 days. And the following day, I guess it was, Washington crossed the river, and they then headed back to Virginia.
If George Washington had been killed, either by the shot or frozen to death after falling into the river, how would that have altered the course of history?
Well, we think of democracy as being rather common today, but the United States was the first modern democracy. There are now approximately 195 countries. Half of them are democratic. Washington was the catalyst of the revolution. He was the leader of the Constitutional Convention. He held everything together throughout the revolution and afterwards when we formed our government. And I truly believe that had Washington been killed, that our nation's history would be quite different, and the history of the world, the modern world as we know it, would be quite different.
6 months later, Governor Dinwiddie again sent Washington up to western Pennsylvania to the point of Pittsburgh to establish a fort. When he was partway there, Washington got word that the French had already arrived at the point. Near Uniontown, the French attacked Washington and his troops. It was the beginning of the French and Indian War, and in the opinion of historians like Judge O'Brien, the incident at Harmony, where an Indian fired a shot at George Washington, was in fact the first shot of the French and Indian War.